The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
Need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was flipping his toenails at the desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, this is Maddie K with The Working Experience. And I am here with my cousin-in-law, David Camp.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, good. David is down in Maryland in Bay Ridge, correct?
That is correct.
Yes. And I am very familiar with your house. I don't think the house in its current form, but I used to go there quite a lot as a kid to see Aunt Helen and Uncle Jack. Is that the same house?
Oh, that's not where I live anymore. No, we tore that house down. We built a new house on it, and then realized it was so expensive that we had to sell that house. But we sold that house to the people that own the house that we now own. So we swapped houses.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
But you're still.
It's nice in that they got a brand new house, and I got a much lower mortgage. Wood, you know, hot water heater that's going to shit the bed.
Yeah. So Chesapeake. So you guys are near the Bay. Bay Ridge Kids is your hashtag. You guys grew up there. You grew up there, right? Is that right?
Meredith grew up here. I grew up, I was born in Nebraska. So I lived in Nebraska for about 5 years. We moved to Northern Virginia when my dad got stationed at the Pentagon. And then my dad got deployed for a number of years. And my mom did not like Northern Virginia. So we ended up in Annapolis, in downtown Annapolis. And then when I went to college, my parents sold their house in downtown Annapolis and bought a house in Bay Ridge. And then I rented a house in Bay Ridge, which is where I met Meredith, which is why we're still here.
Okay. Did you guys go to elementary school together?
No, but we went to the same high school.
You grew up in Nebraska. I'm sorry.
But I am, I think, 2 years ahead of her.
Okay.
Which is good, because she wouldn't like me in high school.
She sort of tolerates you now.
In a joking manner, I was a fucking asshole in high school.
But she tolerates you now.
Along the way, and now I despise the person I was, and I just know for a fact that she would not have liked me, and so I would not have the wife that I have now had she known me in high school.
Well, it's called maturing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. So she tolerates your presence now, which is nice of her.
She certainly does.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why she's, but God bless her for doing it.
Absolutely.
Taking one for the entire female team.
Well, I knew Meredith, I mean, when she was born. I remember seeing her as an infant. I'm not that... How old is... Well, maybe, I don't know. How old is Meredith?
36?
Okay, so
yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's actually 37.
I'm like 8 years older than her, so... Yeah, I remember when she was a really little kid. So, yeah, so we're here to talk about working experience. If you could, give us a little bit of rundown of what you do.
Well, I now work for a very large system of hospitals, and I am a sourcing manager or sourcing director, if you will. So I help them purchase the devices that they need for surgeries, and I work with the vendor community to work out the best possible pricing for us to buy these things so that we can then use them in surgery. And it's all about saving money for the hospital system. Before I did this, I sold these things. For the previous 16 years, I was selling orthopedic implants and orthopedic trauma implants, total joint replacement products, spinal implants, and osteobiologic products. So I went from selling to now to buying, and I went from a very sort of cowboy world to a very corporate world. So I have a very interesting sort of maybe a more unique perspective on the corporate world at this point than I had beforehand.
Right, right. Well, that it's always fascinated me because I've never, worked in an office. I've never worked in the corporate world. And some of the stories, No, I mean, if I was been a teacher.
I get the impression you worked in an office.
No, no. I'm a school teacher.
Huh.
You didn't know that?
Right.
Yeah, I teach high school English. So, it's not, which has its own flavor. So, I come from this outsider's perspective, hearing these stories. And I'm like, I always picture, you know, corporate America, very buttoned down, very conservative. Everybody's, you know, really on their best behavior. And then I hear these stories.
Total nonsense.
Yes. Like about my friend Gary told me a story about, I won't go into the whole thing, but one of his co-equals, he works at an accounting firm. Uh-huh. They finally had to go into one of the, I guess he was another manager, who had a very interesting nightlife and so forth, and I think called Gary more than once to try to get him to bail him out because he'd been arrested for something. This is all in Manhattan. So they all this stuff went down. He disappeared. The big boys finally show up and went into his office. They come out and they're like, Gary, do you know what's in his office? And Gary's like, no. Three duffel bags filled with liter bottles of urine are in his office. Because he apparently was semi-homeless at this point. I think he had a home on Long Island. But he wasn't, I don't know, he didn't have money to get back and forth. Whatever he was doing, he was basically staying at the office, bringing people home that he met at clubs and bars to the office. And he did not want to get caught on camera. Like, are you doing something over there?
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to make sure I got a charge on my phone. So I'm quietly pestering my father-in-law to get one. Here we go. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. I'll take it back upstairs to Meredith's bedroom and plug it in. Sorry, man.
No problem.
I got my charge going. I got 24%. I don't want to lose it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, this FaceTime is a bitch on the battery life.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe that's right. It got a little choppy there for a bit.
So he's got a backpack full of jar of 2 liter bottles of urine?
No. He has three duffel bags filled with liter bottles of urine in his office. You know, Gary's Gary's expecting them to say, like, you know, duffel bags filled with marijuana or something, which, you know, would have been more, I guess, understandable, I suppose, or credible, you know, urine. So apparently what he was doing is he was basically staying at the office, bringing home groups of people from clubs and bars and so forth, because he would go out in Manhattan. And then he didn't want the security cameras to see him, so he would pee in these bottles. And apparently neglected to throw them out. Now, why he was having them in the office, like, you think you'd just carry one out every so often and, you know, get rid of them. So that was the corporate America.
Did he turn out to be a hoarder in other facets of his life?
No, I mean, he had a drug problem. He was all kinds of, like, six ways to the nut house. So, but it took the head honchos about, like, 6 months to catch on to this, to, like, come down and finally be like, where is this guy? Like, what's... So, stories like that, like, food in the office. Like, apparently there's all kinds of fights over food and people stealing each other's food and...
Well, so, I would say that food is a big deal, right? Because we have a break room, and it's like the, you know, the... It's not a cafeteria. We just have a room with a couple long tables.
Right.
Like picnic tables smashed together, where we all kind of congregate for an hour to talk about God only knows what, right?
Yeah.
And to that extent, we had this thing happen last week. We have this person that works in our office that is a complete refrigerator Nazi, right? Like to the extent that she put signs on the refrigerators that say, like, anything that's left in here with the exception of, like, coffee creamers will be thrown away on Friday. So I roll in. We had an especially salty Monday this week where I thought somebody I worked with was going to quit. And she was pretty bitter, and she went in to get her. Now, amazingly enough, this is on the same day where this dude shot, like, five people in Baltimore. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Sorry, but he's a little on edge.
Yeah, well, you know, it's we're my office is like 10 minutes from where these guys got shot.
Oh, wow.
And so we're all in the lunchroom, and I walk in, and my coworker She's pissed. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, they fucking threw away my salad dressing. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Why'd they throw away your salad dressing? She's like, I don't know, because it was left in a fucking fridge, and it says nothing but, you know, coffee creamer, but it's salad dressing. It's not going bad. And so we started talking about this dude who shot all these people up at his you know, job. And I was like, well, he probably threw away his fucking salad dressing. You know? And
yeah. So sometimes that'll do it. That'll drive someone right over the edge.
It's the little things, man.
It's not
the big things. No. It's the little things that start to add up.
The like swarm. It's called the swarm.
It's like the Office Space with a stapler.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like the swarm.
You can only fuck with people so long.
Right.
And in the big picture, whatever, man, we'll figure it out. We got problems. We'll solve these problems. We got budget issues, whatever. But when you mess with somebody, like,
food.
All I want to do is bring this fucking lettuce from my house.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody likes lettuce.
No.
I bring this fucking lettuce from my house, and I want to put this salad dressing that I paid for last week on this salad to make it palatable.
Right. And someone throws it away.
The tick in the office throws it away.
Now, was it?
That's
it,
the kind of shit that makes people absolutely crazy.
Was it this woman? I mean, was it the refrigerator Nazi?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Oh, really? Wow. So, yes. So this woman's...
You would give her, this person, a gender based on the story.
I think you said it was a woman.
Did I?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, some guys are... one time at... a school where I was teaching, there was this guidance counselor who was utterly useless. She was so useless. However, she took the time to put this note on the fridge that said, to the person who's been stealing my butter. I'm like...
Butter?
Her butter. And then she goes on, I like to bring in bread and toast it. I like to have butter on my toast. You are ruining... Now, you know, okay, it... Like, I brought in a big thing of coffee creamer, I put it in the fridge. I just assume people use it, that's fine, you know. Just don't use half of it in one go, you know.
Oh, dude, by the way, we have a Keurig machine, right? Like a high-tech Keurig machine.
Yeah.
And we have, with the Keurig machine, you got all these coffee pods, and then we have, like, different sweeteners, you know? Like, I'm an equal guy, right?
Yeah.
I hate equal, I'm sorry, Splenda, I love Splenda.
Yeah.
And we have non-dairy creamer.
Yeah.
So, turns out there's cream, actual cream, in the fridge, but you got to be a member of the coffee club. So if you pay into the fucking coffee club, you can use the actual cream.
Oh, my God.
I steal the cream.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you should.
I just go and I pour cream into my cup.
Yeah.
Screw these people.
Screw these people. I mean, go. How much does the cream cost? Like $2 for a half gallon? Like, give me a break.
Oh, and it is a solid half gallon of cream, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't go bad.
No, it costs nothing. Nothing. And so the fact of the matter is, the fucking place ought to give us some cream anyway.
Yes, yes.
Why give us this shit that might cause cancer in rodents?
Right.
And quite frankly, tastes like shit.
Right.
And the non-dairy creamer is, by definition... not creamer.
Right.
Because it's not dairy.
But you have to be in the coffee club to have the actual...
To the coffee club.
You know, it's amazing how... I wouldn't say people don't mature after school. I would say they get worse. They get, like, nitpicky and, like, you know... Some things I just consider communal. Like, it's not that big a deal. But throwing away someone... Yeah, back to the woman. I mean... She's not somebody who's like has any kind of authority or anything, is she?
No.
But she has taken this upon herself.
She assumes authority.
To throw away
she has
someone's
no actual authority. It's very interesting. She assumes authority and she walks around like she has authority, but it's complete bullshit.
So, would the woman who's salad dressing, the owner, has she confronted the woman who threw it away? No, that doesn't happen.
No, she hasn't. I'll tell you why. Because she has a long history of run-ins with this woman. So she's like, this bitch is not going to understand anyway. So I'm just going to let it go. Is that all right?
Wow.
I think there was a co-owner on the dressing, though.
A co-owner?
The person might have have beef as well.
I mean, it seems like a pretty clear-cut issue. You know, you could walk up to the woman and say, hey, listen, I paid for that salad dressing. It doesn't go bad. Don't throw my food away. But
So we had a high-level, for us, a high-level meeting of all these directors it was yesterday. And, we have to go through all these things, like, you know, here's where our budget is. Here's what where we think we're going to land after the end of, Q2 FY7 or FY18. And then he goes, do you have any issues? Are there any outstanding issues? And I said, well, I have a very serious issue and it affects my coworkers. And I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but we need to stop throwing away the fucking salad dressing. Because these people are going to lose their minds. And it's reality, man. They're like, you know, it's, again, it gets back to, like, it's the little things. It's the very little things. And in reality, you know, you go back to, like you said, hey, man, I don't think that people mature after high school. And I think you're right. I think what happens is they latch on to things that they can control.
Yes.
It's like, this is my thing. This is this refrigerator, for fuck's sake. This is my domain.
Right.
I may not, I could be completely out of control of all these other things in my life. It's like the dude from Fargo the guy at the parking garage, you know, who's like,
right, right.
Right. It's the same concept. It's like, this is her domain.
Right.
And it's almost like it's an affront to her that you would leave your salad dressing in her fridge. It's not her fridge, but this is what she has, like, assumed some weird sort of control over. And that's where I think people kind of go off the rails. You have no reason to be so concerned about what people leave in a fridge. Yeah, I mean, don't leave something perishable.
Yeah.
But it's Lando Lake's, like, Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, one third of the way empty. Leave it. What's the problem with that? And it's just a weird control thing. And everybody has their weird control thing, whether it's like, I tell my kids not to put their feet on the seats in my truck.
Right.
You know, that's a weird thing for me. And for her, it's the inside of the fridge at the office.
But that is your truck. That's not her fridge, nor is it her salad dressing.
Both are all correct points. Yes.
Yeah. So you're right, though. Like, the woman who owns salad dressing, it's like, there's a lot in life that is not in our control. I should be able to trust that I can go to the refrigerator and retrieve my salad dressing. And, you know, if they were in prison, somebody would have gotten stabbed over that.
Oh, yeah.
No question. Yeah. And you
somebody
can see it.
Somebody's been months fashioning.
That's right. A shiv.
Just kill your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the dressing.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know what? You know what I'm saying? Well, I heard one
to the bare things, those core things.
Well, you know, I did get into a bit of a kerfluffle at a school I was in 2 years ago. There was same deal, sink, microwave, little table, fridge, and I brought in two boxes of Triscuits, and I put them in the cabinet, right?
All right.
So I go to get them the next day, and somebody had locked the cabinet. And I was like, what the hell? You know, like, come on, man. So for about 2 days, I was trying to get this cabinet door open, to the point where I brought a screwdriver in to jimmy the lock. I'd been trying all these keys that were around, and I ended up prying it open about an inch and managed to just sort of bend the lock, but I couldn't, you know, complete the transaction. And I scraped up the handle and everything, and I thought, like, oh man, this, you know, I could have just gone to the store and bought another box of Triscuits, I know. So then I thought, well, maybe if I go into the cabinet next to it, I can kind of get,
yeah,
well, that's where my Triscuits were. They weren't even in the locked
you suck, dude,
cabinet,
really?
Right? Yeah.
So, I thought to, like, go to the
no.
guy, like, hey, man,
no.
can I maybe get the key?
No.
And call security?
No. And I was so mad. I was like, who is the inconsiderate a-hole who is doing this? So then I'm confronted a day after with a sign on the cabinet.
Please don't try to break into
yes, the yes, yes. And then I'm looking around. It dawned on me, like, this school has cameras around. I'm, like, looking around. It's like, I expected to get an email, like, we need to have a chat in the administrator's office about your behavior.
Thing.
Showed
up.
But I was really...
Matter of fact, you suck at picking locks.
Everything. The whole thing was a catastrophe. And I'm like, I couldn't, you know, but I understand the woman with the salad dressing. You know, I can understand being like, I look forward to this at my lunch break, and now I can't have it.
Yeah, because you put up with all this other shit. And
yes.
That's the thing. Like, you know, once you get into this weird corporate world, you find little things that you can latch on to, right? Whether it's like my 5-minute walk after lunch before I need to, like, you know, be back on my computer, or or your salad dressing, you know?
Yeah.
And these things, they take on a worth that they would have nowhere else.
Right.
Like at home, if you went to your house and your spouse threw away your salad dressing, you would be like, well, that sucks. Why did you do that? And
she's, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was old or whatever. And you say, all right, well, whatever. I mean, we'll order a pizza. We'll go get more salad dressing.
Yeah.
But at work,
nah.
It's like an insult. It's an affront to, like, your value as an individual within the confines of this freaking warehouse of monkeys that sit around and type all day, like, you know, World War II correspondents. That's a weird thing, because your identity is kind of stripped away, because you have to sort of, like, conform and fit in.
Yeah.
So if all you have is a refrigerator or salad dressing,
right?
you inflate the value of those things to an extent that it becomes really, really important, when, it, in all honesty, it's not important at all. But that's why people go into office buildings and shoot people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you say...
And it's really what it is.
It's really what?
It's really what it is. It's stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned the monkeys and the typing away, because my friend John, who he's the other guy who does the podcast, he used to work for, like, Morgan Stanley, and he was an investment banker, then he was on the trading floor, and then he quit, because he said he almost went out of his mind. But he said he has this thing about, like, you know, adults are thrust into this very constrained, almost unnatural environment. You can't do this, you can't say that, you can't look at someone this way. You know, there's very much walking on eggshells, what you can say. And it has an effect on people. Like, it really, you know, like, you're right. And then you start, the salad dressing becomes the explosion.
Well, if you think about it, I wonder what the percentage of people that are in the workforce, the percentage of people in the workforce that are doing something they feel like they were put on this planet to do. And I would submit to you that number is probably pretty low.
Yesterday?
Because we end up in these situations where we have spouses, or we have mortgages, or we have luxuries, you know, boats and cars and whatever it is, and we lose our ability to really do what it is that, you know, at a certain point you go, shit, I'm not on this planet to sit behind a computer and stare at a spreadsheet all day, but I have no choice.
Right.
My life at this point is sort of being controlled by the fact that I owe money on these things, and in reality I have no way out other than paying them off, but I don't make enough money to pay them off, so I just have to sort of, you know, persevere and deal with this ridiculous existence that nobody, you know, I don't know if you believe in God or whatever, you know, up through evolution we started working with tools, you know, and then we differentiate, and but I don't think there was a time where we were supposed to sit down in front of computer screens and type through spreadsheets and look at numbers bay and deal with all the pingings and the emails and the sounds and the constant stimulus. It's really kind of bizarre that in the last, you know, whatever, I don't know, 75 years or something, we've come to this point. And so it makes it a very, it's a situation where I think maybe we shouldn't be. You know, I mean,
yeah.
There's so many people that are doing jobs to pay off things that they own, that they'll probably never pay off, but they're stuck in this cycle. And it's the classic rat race. And it's surprising that we don't have more crazy people. Or we have crazy people, they just medicate or you know.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting place to find yourself. And that's why, you know, the salad dressing in the refrigerator end up being such a big deal to people. Because in reality, not a big deal. It's salad dressing. It's $3 a bottle. Right. Or it's a refrigerator. But people latch on to things that they can control.
Well, it's funny when you're saying that. It's almost verbatim what John was saying about the evolution thing. Like, you know, over however many millions of years, we didn't evolve to go into buildings and, as you say, sit at a computer and ignore our sort of natural impulses to, you know, act like a normal human being. Because if you do that, you know, with human resources and all, I mean, you'll be called to the mat pretty quickly. So,
right, if you act like a normal human being, you're going to be fired.
Yeah. So, you know, you might want to tell someone off. You might want to tell, you know, this or that or whatever. And, I mean, you just can't really... You know, like I say, I don't work in a corporate office, but, you know, the school system is, you know, kind of operates the same way these days. You can't really say much. You can't really, you know, just sort of tell a kid he's acting like a complete a-hole. And, you know, it might be right. A little refreshing if you did, because sometimes people need to hear that. So.
Well, the unfortunate thing is you can coddle people as much as you want, but sooner or later you're going to end up in a real world, and when somebody does call you an asshole, it's going to be heartbreaking.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
what
right.
Do you mean? I'm not an asshole. Well, right. You're acting like one.
Right, I know.
I'm offended.
Well, people are always bagging on, you know, young people and millennials, but, you know, it's like I see plenty of people my age and older who, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, for example, the guy I mentioned at the beginning, my friend up here, another guy named John, working at a corporate, you know, office, whatever. There's this guy in his office, tall guy, he's like 6'6", 6'7", kind of an odd guy, really into eclipses, like, not from
that's
the science...
Cool. Celestial things?
Well, not from the science point of view. It's more like end of the world, like, yeah. He'll travel to China to stand in a certain spot to... And he'll, according to John, he'll tell you about this with the fervor of a true believer. The same guy would go into the break room, take off his shoes and socks, put his bare foot up on the sink, and clip his toenails into it.
That's very wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. Wait, the dude who clips his toenails in the sink is the same guy that worships the eclipse?
Yes, same guy.
Okay, so I was going to stick up for him and say, well, how do we know that he's not right?
Oh, so true, yeah.
We have our beliefs and our... Well, I can't tell you for a fact that Jesus walked on the earth. I don't know.
Well, but one thing...
He clips his toenails in the sink, I think he's crazy.
Exactly. That's what puts the pin in the balloon right there. Because to me, that is... And he was a guy in his, like, late 50s. So, I mean...
In his late 50s?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was a grown adult. He was older than John by, like, 15, 20 years.
Does he just not give a shit anymore?
Well, to me, it's like an aggressive act. Like, this is a huge middle finger to every... Like, you can't tell me you don't know. First of all, clip your toenails at home. First of all,
they were toenails in my bathroom at my house, and my wife is like, "That's disgusting."
Right.
Every now and then, one of them escapes because you clip it and it flies off.
It flies off,
and she finds it. And she's like, "This is disgusting."
I know, but okay, you know, that's you live with somebody, right? This is now. Then we got into discussions about like, do you brush your teeth? Well, first of all, it was like, do you clip your fingernails at work? And I'm like. No, well, a couple of people said yes. They will keep a clipper in their desk. I'm like, no, it is. That's like somebody said my friend Tom said he walked into the bathroom and a guy was clipping his fingernails in the sink in the men's room. And it's like, okay, I wouldn't do it. It's not as obviously it's not as horrendous as the toenails in the sink in the break room. I mean, that's horrifying, but. You know, no clipping, no shaving, none of that.
Right, there are certain things that you should just do at home.
Now, brushing my teeth.
Unless you're a a raging drug addict and you're talking
about yeah, right, right. I don't even think he. I don't think he clipped.
This guy could have serious issues. Like, maybe he doesn't have a place to clip. And he does it there because at least when he's there, he doesn't care about the people that are in the office. He just doesn't. When he's outside of the office, those are the people he cares about. He doesn't like anybody there anyway. So I guess.
I mean, that's the only, like, I hate you. I hate all of you. So I'm going to clip my... So we were also talking about, like, brushing teeth. Like, I keep a toothbrush and toothpaste because sometimes I feel like I need to freshen up after lunch. But I wouldn't floss.
No.
No.
No, no, no. So you can brush your teeth in... Like, if you went to the bathroom at your office, like a communal bathroom, right? The men's room.
Right.
You can brush your teeth there. I don't think that's a big deal.
Right.
That's fine. Flossing, no.
Well, see, a couple other people did.
I think that's socially acceptable, but it really comes down to what's socially acceptable.
Well, but that's the thing. Some people were a real no-no on brushing your teeth at work. So everybody's definition of socially acceptable, that's the whole rub of it.
Okay, if you brushed your teeth in the lunchroom sink, absolutely not.
And then flossed. And then stood there going, ugh.
Flossing is the worst thing in the world.
Flossing's gross anywhere. It ends up on the mirror. It, you know, right. You got to do it. But no, not in public.
Well, but, you don't have to do it.
No. But you
would go to the dentist once a quarter and do it for you.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I don't know if you saw this picture I put on Facebook, and this was an actual memo, I'm looking at it right now, entitled Office Toilet Etiquette Rules to Follow While Using the Restroom. This is
Yeah. Don't look under.
Don't peek under the door.
Rattle incessantly on the door.
Another one, which wasn't in here, it was detailed instructions on using the urinal. That you should
use. I'd love to hear about that.
Well, you should use the urinal that's furthest away from the other. There's another person in there. You should use the urinal that's furthest away. Also, you should keep your eyes front because any sideward looks could lead to a problem. Now, they say a problem. I say perhaps an opportunity. See? I mean, you don't know.
Whatever you're into.
I don't know. It could be a meeting of the minds. So apparently,
Maybe you just want to pay the guy a compliment.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. That is impressive. If someone paid me that compliment, I'd say thank you very much. And I'd be all set with that.
I'd offer to pose for pictures.
Would you like me to send you this on?
Selfie.
Yeah, I can send this to you. I mean, no problem. Well, speaking of that, my friend John up here has a friend who works in HR. If I worked in corporate America, I want to work in HR. That has to be the most fascinating.
So there's when I come from the break room where we all eat lunch and the salad dressing gets stolen, on the way back to my office, there is an office, and that door is always ajar, and there's a woman who sits there, and she has a coffee mug that says, I heart with the heart.
Yeah.
HR.
I gotta get one of those.
Or she's somebody I should be incredibly afraid of. Do not talk to this woman at all.
No, don't make eye contact.
No good could come of it.
Is she HR? Is she human?
I have no fucking clue, man. All I know is she has a coffee mug that says, I heart HR, which tells me she's either A, human resources, B, someone who is apt to go to human resources for anything whatsoever, or C, completely crazy, or D, all of the above. I don't know, but I don't want anything to do with her.
Have you dealt with HR at your company?
No, I don't want to.
No, yeah. But seriously, though, they hear the best, they have the best stories.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be one of them.
Well, I guess my friend Nick, he's worked in HR, and he's had to, like, talk to an employee who stinks.
Like, smells badly?
Smells badly. And other people have complained. And
well, that's a reasonable complaint.
Yeah. But it's like, you have to sit down with another grown adult and say, you know, you smell bad. What he says they do is they have an employee code book. So it's all about the code. It's
kind
all
of bringing like a fresh bag of dog shit and set it down. You go, Jesus, that stinks. That's how we feel about
correct.
It. Correct. So you go and take a bath.
Correct. Yeah, well, they refer to like the handbook, so it's not personal. They'll, you know.
No,
There's this whole code they use of like, see, what it is like Article 32A in here, just we require employees to bathe regularly and wash their clothes. So, like, you can never say something specific like you reek.
Right, but isn't this kind of the problem? Isn't this, like, doesn't this go back to the root of the issue?
Yes.
Just say what's wrong?
Yes.
Like, I got a sugarcoater, I got to go, like, as my wife would say, I got to reach over my own back to scratch my ass. Like,
yeah.
Why can't we just go straight to the problem? Dude, you smell badly. If you don't know this, maybe I'm doing you a huge favor. Like, maybe the guy's not had a date in years. He's like, holy shit, I didn't know. I have a problem with my, you know, olfactory glands. And no one's ever had the guts to tell me that I stink. And my life has been shit for years since I got punched in the nose in a bar fight. And I couldn't figure out why. So maybe that's the deal. So maybe you're doing him a huge favor. I don't know why we have to, like, pussyfoot around the issues. Like, dude, you smell badly, and the people that are here are tired of it, and I could set you up with, like, Gillette. We could do, like, a case study. I don't know.
Oh, no.
What's the problem with this? Why can't people just be honest?
No, you can't. Well, here's a story you will appreciate, then. A friend of mine who works for AT&T, Tom, edit that out, say, a friend of mine who works for a communications company in Manhattan, he telecommutes mostly now, but he was in the office for a while. So there was this guy in the office, he's an older guy, kind of a loudmouth, you know, and whatnot. Not a bad guy, I guess. Anyway, there was this younger African-American guy working there. Mm-hmm. And the older guy, I'll call him Tim, says to the younger guy, oh, I didn't think you guys wore pink shirts. Or something along those lines. Like, he was wearing a pink dress shirt, the African-American guy.
Okay.
So then this got reported to HR that Tim had made a racially insensitive comment to this guy. So it was sort of unclear how this got reported or whatever. So anyway, Tim's in with HR. The HR woman, my friend described her as very young, very beautiful, very, very religious. Mm-hmm. Still lived with her mom, you know, just very, very proper and all that. So she's talking to Tim about this comment.
Right.
Tim was like, well, who was it? You know, I'd like to apologize. And she's like, no, I can't tell you who it is. This and that, anonymity, whatever. So he's like, so you can't tell me who said this. I can't defend myself or apologize, and it's going to go in my file. And she says, well, yeah. So he said, okay, I'd like to make a complaint. And she goes, okay. Stan, who is the vice president of sales, right, he offered to perform oral sex on me in the bathroom.
Was Stan any good?
Huh?
Was Stan any good?
Well, this was his vent on her. And she's like,
whoa. That's brilliant.
Brilliant. And yeah. She's like, well, you know, he's like, hey, I'm here reporting this. We were in the bathroom using the urinals. And he turned to me and said, I would like to give you a BJ. And so the woman's completely flustered and all this. And he was like, well, you know, I need this to be part of Stan's file and whatnot. And she's like, well, I'm going to have to verify this. And he's like, yeah, go ahead, go verify whatever you need to verify. And
you bring Stan in right now.
Bring Stan in right now and we'll you know, we'll get it done. So, yeah, it is kind of funny how, no, you can't just sort of... like, the guy who was clipping his toenails, the office is up here in Boston, the main office is in New York, they called the New York office to have that manager call the toenail clipping guy, because nobody can just go to the guy and say, hey, Ralph.
Dude, stop clipping your toenails in the sink.
Yeah, no, that can't happen. And
I'm offended.
My friend John was down in New York, and he was talking to the manager, and the manager was the same exact lament you were just saying. Like, why do I have to call the Boston office to talk to this guy when there are, like, five adults around him who could have the same conversation with him?
You want the answer?
Yes.
Lawyers.
Yeah, probably, right.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you tell somebody they stink, I mean, yeah, you could be opening up who knows, God knows what.
You could be doing them a great favor.
Or you could be simultaneously doing them a great favor.
Hey,
yeah.
Man. I just want you to know that nobody here likes the way you smell.
Yeah, you smell. Speaking of going back to the refrigerator and the notes.
Yeah.
Because you said that woman leaves notes.
Yes.
Yeah. This one was, I found these on the internet. It said, to the culprit who ate what you thought was two peanut butter ice cream bars. Those were actually laxatives for my dog that had to be kept frozen. I hope you enjoyed the weekend of lava butt. Karma's a bitch. Don't steal it from the fridge if it's not yours. Like, this is what people are driven to. Risking other people's health.
As grounds for assault.
Well, that, yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, if that person...
I could be allergic to what's in those dog laxatives.
Someone else here put estrogen supplements in their water because someone was stealing their water. Stealing water. Water comes out of the sink, you know, it's...
Well, let's think about where you are. We don't know where these people are.
True, that's true.
What if they're in Mexico?
That's true.
And water is not water in the States.
I stand corrected. This person put oxy powder in her soup.
What the fuck is oxy powder?
I think it's like a cleaning agent.
Damn, dude, that's wrong.
I know, these people are... Oh, here we go, here we go. Someone put up, all I want for Christmas is someone to buy their own coffee creamer.
Hey.
Look, can you see it? Can you see that?
Maybe I'll buy some of my own creamer. I believe it.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Someone to buy their own coffee creamer. What? One of my favorites, it's not here, but in one office, a guy had a note. I don't think it's here. He had a note in the freezer on a bag of ice cubes, and it said, like, something to the effect of, I use bottled water at home to make my own ice cubes. Please do not take my ice cubes.
What?
Like, he uses Evian water, or whatever, to make his ice cubes. Because he can't have tap water ice cubes, apparently. So he makes these at home and brings them.
I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'd take his ice cubes and make ice cubes out of the tap water and put it back in and figure out if he knew the difference.
I just take them and dump them in the trash and make sure he understood someone had dumped them in the trash.
That's a great point.
Because that's
a little bit more... I feel like the social experiment would be more fun, but then again, was he going to refill the bags?
It just screams, I am a giant douchebag if you're making your own ice cubes at home. And you have to tell people this. Don't use my ice cubes. I mean, there's nothing I can do except throw your ice cubes away. You've put me in an impossible position.
I would take his ice cubes and I would throw them away. And I would go to the office on Saturday with my own ice cube racks and boot color. And I would get red, yellow, green, blue, like whatever, you know, like, and just fill his dumb shit bags with multicolor ice cubes. And then I'd make sure I was there at lunchtime, extra early on Monday, just to watch him freak out.
Mike, what happened to your ice cubes?
Holy Jesus, it's a miracle.
All right, well, we have reached... 42 minutes here. I think that's pretty good. Some very interesting things, and I will definitely be dipping back into this well to...
The well is deep.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So, yeah, we should definitely do another one of these. It's really fun.
I'm very happy to do it, man.
All right. Awesome, Dave. Hey, thanks a lot.
Cheers, man.